Welcome back, folks, to another episode of the Nintendo Wirecast. I am one of your hosts, Amiibo Jason. I have been long absent. We haven't done a podcast in a bit. TJ has been, I don't know, guilting me a bit. Like, when are we going to do one of these? We got to do one of these. So he's with me here again tonight, as always. TJ, how you doing?
I'm doing great. Sorry about holding your feet to the fire there.
No, somebody has to. Somebody has to. It's one of these things. So my daughter's 3 months old now, my second daughter.
Excuses.
It is. Most nights are great. Like, for the most part, like, it's like I get up once, my wife gets up once, and then we're good to go. But sometimes it's not. It's exhausting. And I think I might have mentioned this once before. Being a father at 27 is very different than being a new father at 35. Yeah. And maybe not for TJ, because this man is literally Superman. Like, no joke. He rips his shirt off and there is a Superman costume underneath his outfit.
I am not so far
regular
removed from
old,
that.
Like, softer Amiibo Jason. Yeah, it's definitely different, for sure. I think it's a mixture of the pandemic with, like, being stuck inside and, like, the anxiety, depression that comes with that. And, you know, homeschooling a kid, trying to get Christmas stuff taken care of, and then obviously new baby. But you've been through this more times than I have.
Yeah, but you said it just now. There's a lot of added pressures right now. And to you and Happily Candy's credit, I've been keeping track of this baby on social media, and she's gorgeous. You guys are doing an amazing job. So kudos to you and mommy.
Well, thank you.
Many, many blessings heading into the next year with your growing family.
I will say this. I do appreciate having somebody like you to hold my feet to the fire, as it were. Happily Candy does the same thing. This is my only real talk, I think, for the entire episode. I mean, it's all real talk, but, like, real talk. It's been a tough year for a lot of people. People are out of work, they're sick, they've lost loved ones. You can lose motivation to do things. I have fallen into that camp too. Even with some of the videos that I've created, it took me some time to get to a point where I felt like I can comfortably do this without having to, like, force myself to. And I didn't want to force myself to make content, because that sucks the fun and the life out of it. Nintendo Wire for me has, it's a business, but it's always been more than that. And the last thing I wanted was to treat it like a business strictly. But thankfully, again, because of friends like you, Happily Candied, my beautiful wife, my kids, you know, the motivation comes back, and it finally did. So if you are feeling that way, you're not alone. It's a tough year. We're at the goalposts. I mean, who knows what 2021 is going to bring, but hey, it couldn't be too much worse. But yeah, if you're in a place like that, know that, you know, there's hope at the end of it. And surround yourself with, if you can, with people who can help you kind of get out of that rut. So again, TJ, thank you for hosting this show with me for how many episodes we've done now. What, 30, 40?
Yeah, I think we're getting close to 50.
50? Yeah, could be. I'm sure it is. So what's new with
it's,
you?
It's fun. I'm doing a lot of the same stuff. It feels like rubbing it in, but Taiwan, for the most part, is, we're going about our daily lives. We still wear masks everywhere, and we get our temperature taken everywhere, but that's normal life for here now. And I still get to do all the stuff that I love. So I go to the gym every day, and playing video games is still a source of fun and joy. And to kind of piggyback off of what you said, as far as content is concerned, one of the great things about Nintendo Wire is it's always been an outlet for us to explore the avenues of Nintendo in the ways that interest us. And, and in a lot of ways, that's driven the content in a lot of different directions. So I don't know too many channels that have such a wide variety of types of content, from original stuff and news and reviews and impressions and all that kind of stuff. So I wouldn't say that I've lost the motivation to create. I just didn't know where to channel my energies. And there's just never really been too much pressure to do it. So it is really fun for me, and I consider it an incredible blessing to be able to jump on here and chat with you about video games.
Well, trust me, we love having you on. I mean, when I say we have you on, I mean, this channel is just as much yours as it is mine. Assuming you're listening to this on YouTube and not on a podcasting channel, but Yeah, if you guys are curious, I mean, we're at like 115,000-116,000 subscribers now on Nintendo Wire on YouTube. TJ, did you want to talk to the audience about anything YouTube-related yet?
Yeah. You and I have recently discussed a show that I'm planning on doing next year, and it's going to be a weekly show. I hesitate to say a variety show, but it'll be a show that will draw from some of the headlines of the week, but not really a news show. More a show that is my impressions on what's ever interesting me. But it will be topical, so it'll be revolving around a lot of the current Nintendo-related news. But it'll also have some reviews and discuss what I'm playing, some community questions, a few little variety segments to kind of spice it up. And for me, it's going to be just a framework of something that allows me to channel all of my varied interests, things that maybe don't fit into what would be a proper show, like a Smash Supremacy or a Custom Conquest, but something that I could just take 30 seconds of a weekly episode and slam it in there.
So
and
raw TJ.
It'll be more like raw me TJ. Actually, the show's going to be called Me Weekly, and it'll just be me on a weekly basis with just some fun Nintendo-related news. It's not too serious, and it'll be a chance for me to exercise a deeper connection with this content that we both really enjoy. So I'm excited to get started on that, and I think the first episode, I don't know when people will be hearing this, but the first episode should go up this week.
Nice. Besides that, for me, the only thing that I'm really doing, I mean, Wiretap is back. I'm hoping to make it consistent. So two episodes we add out this week, so Monday, Tuesday. Topics that I care about, which is we have some cool merchandise. Nintendo, and this is something that we're not going to cover very much on this podcast, but Nintendo released these gorgeous 35th anniversary t-shirts. And I ended up buying one. They're expensive. They're way too expensive. They're $35 a piece. But they come in these boxes that look like the original box of the game that the shirt is like from. So it has Mario 1, 2, and 3. There's a Super Mario World and a Super Mario 64 shirt. And each one comes in a box that looks just like the box that the game came in for the respective systems. And they look great. So
I didn't see that. That sounds cool. But actually, it's making me a little bit apprehensive that they're going to do something similar for Zelda. Because
go for it.
While I think it's cool with the Mario, it doesn't like, I'm not jumping at it. But if they did something like that with those original Zelda cartridges, and it doesn't matter what's on that t-shirt, I am a sucker for that.
Yeah.
That'll break my bank.
Yeah, it's like for me, I mean, I got the Mario 64 shirt because again, I'm the 64 guy. Anything that has the original Mario look, and not the original, I mean the Mario 64 look, his first foray into 3D. He looked very different, even in the promotional artwork. He has evolved a lot since 1996. Yeah. But my favorite iteration still of Mario is the Mario 64 Mario. He is, what's the best way to describe him? He's simple. He's expressive. And
are you talking about the in-game polygons or the key art?
Both.
Concept art, the one with it.
Okay. So I love the polygons. My favorite costume in Mario Odyssey was the Mario 64 outfit where he turned into the polygon. I loved that.
That was a nice touch.
But the key art, too. I mean, he was a little pudgier. He was simpler. It was obviously very different back then. But again, Mario has evolved a lot. I love how Mario looks now. But Mario 64, for me, is like key, just perfect Mario for me. So I got the Mario 64 shirt just for that artwork. But yeah, if you want to check that out, there's a video on our channel right now, youtube.com/NintendoWire.
So, all right, Nintendo. I'm out of here. I'm going to go check that out. I'll see you in a few minutes. No, just kidding.
And I'm playing Ring Fit again.
Where
I've been doing it now for about a week. I think I put on like between 8 to 10 pounds like the
pure,
past 3 months.
Pure muscle.
I didn't quite get up to the weight that I was when I started Ring Fit the first time. So I wanted to make sure I started again before that happened. But Ring Fit, man, I still can't get over how good that game is a year later.
I'm with you. You know, my brother has been in a quest to reclaim his fitness lately.
Yeah.
He was pretty overweight, and I think he lost like 90 pounds. And
that's amazing.
And he did it without Ring Fit, but then his local gym closed down and he needed to find some kind of way to keep going with this track. And So he has a treadmill in his house, and he plays Ring Fit on a treadmill.
That is impressive.
I want to do that so bad, although I know that I would be on one of those falling off treadmill compilation videos in no time on YouTube.
You would boink yourself in the crotch with the I
know. Dude, I totally even forgot that.
I'd boink myself
in the crotch. I'd go flying off the treadmill, and it would be the funniest thing ever for everybody but me.
I would pay to see that.
I just think it would be so cool to not run in place. Like,
yeah.
I don't mind the running in place, but if you could really run, that would elevate that game to the next level. And so I'm envious of his experience with the game.
You know, I toyed around with the idea of making a Ring Fit video series of some kind. I wanted to do it because it's something I do almost every day. Mm-hmm. And I have a hard time incorporating like how I can make a video out of this because I do not look graceful when I'm.
And then you remember that I did it last year and everyone on the channel hated it.
Yeah, you did really good with it though.
But well, I had fun with it, but I was originally going to do like 8 episodes, and after 3 episodes, I was like, this is actually actively hurting the channel. I better not do this.
Are you aware that I spaced that show even existed? I totally forgot.
Well, I bring it up now to help cure you of any delusions that it's a good idea.
Yeah. Well, you needed more shirtless picks.
Maybe I was the problem. Maybe actually you would have better luck with it.
You intimidated the audience with your pecs.
No, I do think that I accidentally, what's that word? Like clickbaited people. Like people are going into the video and be like, oh, he has clothes on. I'm out of here.
All the thirsty moms.
Yeah. No, I don't think it was thirsty moms.
It was the thirsty moms, I'm telling you. All right. So the name of the game today is kind of looking back at 2020, our favorite moments of 2020, what we were most excited for, what we might have been the most disappointed with, and then moving into 2021 because, man, I have some high hopes for 2021. The world hopefully will be getting back to a more stable place. Zelda's 35th birthday, and that's the thing I'm most excited about.
Me too.
Maybe in a Nintendo Switch special edition, finally, a Legend of Zelda version. I'd love that.
Oh, gold. I will buy it instantly.
But as far as 2020 is concerned, obviously we had the 35th anniversary of Mario. I think Nintendo handled it very well. I think that there's certain things I was disappointed with. 3D All-Stars didn't really quite meet my expectations as far as what a compilation that costs $60 should be. Back when Nintendo was a little bit more benevolent and giving, they would give people a disc of those games just for free as a pre-order bonus. Remember with Zelda on the GameCube?
Yeah. Yeah, that was awesome.
Here's 5 of our most famous games for free. Enjoy.
Yeah. And you have such an incredible amount of appreciation for what a comprehensive package it is, and you don't have very high expectations. And they did actually go in and give you this Master Quest for Ocarina of Time.
Yeah.
And you get it for free. And then with Mario All-Stars, you get the games that were not even as good as the original.
Yeah, less than bare bones with some of these.
Yeah.
Mario Sunshine didn't have the GameCube support out of the box. They fixed that.
Yeah, to their credit. Goodness. I'm actually surprised that they did that.
I think the backlash was pretty big on that. But for me, Mario 64 would have benefited from the aspect ratio upgrade.
At bare minimum widescreen. I just cannot even believe that.
Fans have done it for them. Yep. And it looks fantastic. There's 4K, and we've talked about this once before, but there are 4K, like, widescreen, just absolutely gorgeous ports, and like actual ports of the original source code of Mario 64, done with, from what I understand, minimal effort from the modding community. And Nintendo is charging $60 for this package.
And the camera is so unacceptable in 2020. My kids grew up on Mario Odyssey. They were groomed on Mario Odyssey. They cut their Nintendo teeth on Mario Odyssey. So they're trying to control Mario, who looks somewhat similar in all three of these games, like Mario Odyssey. But that's like, my Joy-Con's broken. And I don't bat an eye at this because, of course, the Joy-Cons are broken. Half my Joy-Con are broken. And then I go and I realize, oh, it's not broken. That's just how the camera is in Mario Odyssey. And they couldn't even be bothered to fix that. That's
just, to Nintendo's benefit, though.
I don't get that.
If they would have messed with the camera, the diehard fans would have had a problem with it, I think. I think that the way to fix that would be to go like the Halo route, like I think I mentioned once before, where when they remastered that, they gave you the option to switch back and forth between the original, like completely as was, you know, as is how it used to be, and the remastered version of it. That would have been a nice thing to be able to switch between. Like, if you feel nostalgic, you know, push a button, you got your, you know, 4x3, you know, your 480i, whatever you need. But for $60, yeah, throw me a bone. And like, we're talking $20 a game, right?
Yeah. What I do wonder, though, is, was this the best that they can do under the conditions, or was this always the intention? Were they always going to distribute this package in this form, or did they come up against complications or a time crunch in the face of development challenges that made this package what it is?
Modding community really did it in like a weekend with the source code, so I don't think so. We're talking about a game that the source code for Mario 64 was written in C, from what I understand, and was very easily compiled on a standard computer. Like, this is a game from 1996. It wouldn't have taken much. They said that all they had to do to get widescreen was go into the settings of the code and modify the code to allow for the extended camera view. So would they have to go and probably fix some levels so you're not going to like see through walls that you're not supposed to see through? Maybe. I don't think that's a good excuse as far as like, you know, we don't have the manpower to do it.
Well, I'm glad we're talking about this one first, because this is definitely my biggest Nintendo disappointment of 2020. I loaded this game up twice, and both times it was just such an exercise in frustration that my feeling, and maybe I'm wrong, but because this is anecdotal to my own home, but the only way you can possibly play or enjoy these games is if you grew up playing them. You have to be used to the jank from 20 years ago to be able to actually enjoy playing it now. And I haven't played it since I originally played it. And I 100%ed all three of these games when they came out, and I never touched them since. So getting back, it's familiar in my hands, but it feels so awful. It just feels like so awful to play that I don't want to. And my kids, they're like, "Dad, why is Mario so horrible in this game?" I'm like, "I don't know, child. I don't know."
I gave up on Sunshine again. I was fighting Petey Piranha, the flying version of him.
Yeah.
And I could not hit him. Could not do it. I tried for about an hour, and maybe I just suck, but I rage quit, never looked back. Mario 64, I did go through the entire game and play through it again, and I enjoyed it quite a bit. I would have enjoyed it more with some bells and whistles, but what are you going to do?
You know, I wish that they would have used the DS version, which I know gets a lot of criticism, but I think it is the better of the two.
It is. If the DS had a more competent control system, it would have been the by far the definitive version of that game. Part of me wishes Nintendo would have created a 3DS port of that that had full support of the circle pad, because you pretty much only had 8 directional points that you could use on the DS. So it was kind of clunky to a certain level. But yeah, I agree. That was the definitive version of that game. But besides that, I mean, everything else with, you know, Mario, what was it, Mario 35?
I never played it. I think it's cool. I think the idea is neat. I'm glad that they did it.
You should play
it. You know what I'm ashamed to admit? Is I kept thinking about Tetris 99 and making that comparison. And I was like, capping it off at 35 seems so unnecessarily restrictive. And then it dawned on me like a month later, oh, for the 35th anniversary. That's why it's 35.
I think you owe it to yourself to try it once while you can. I really enjoy it. I still pick it up. I've only won once. But again, I'm not playing for like hours at a time. But the one time that I won, it was really exciting. I typically get in like the top 5, It gets hectic, like super, super hectic. It's very, very obviously reminiscent of Tetris 99. But yeah, I think it's just a cool freebie. Try it at least once.
Yeah, I should. It always makes it to the back of my brain when it's game time, but
yeah.
I should do it.
And then obviously the merchandise was pretty cool. I picked up the poster set, by the way, which I just got in the mail. This was a physical Club Nintendo reward.
Yeah.
Which they've brought back. That's my favorite part of 2020, by the way. Part of me feels like this. Nintendo had all of this physical merchandise created for probably Comic-Con, E3, and yeah. Then everything got canceled, and they're just like, throw it up on the website. Let everybody else get it.
I'm sure that's what it is.
But I'm ecstatic. These are really, really nice posters. I'm not even sure if I'm going to open these things up.
Yeah. I got those too, but they don't send to Taiwan, so I sent them to my nephews in America.
Nice.
They're very happy to get them.
But yeah, that was a fun thing. Overall, yeah, it was great. I mean, the other Mario big news that we got was Super Nintendo World, which just happened. This is something we've never talked about on the podcast because it just happened. Miyamoto gave us this grand tour of Super Nintendo World. It is everything that I would hope it would be. It's a bit smaller than I kind of expected. I also believe that the only way you can get in is by creating an appointment because it's a pretty small area. So you have to like create an appointment before you buy your tickets to Universal, and then you'll schedule your time to go and, you know, do everything in the park, which I don't think is a bad idea. But it's gorgeous. Like, it's pretty much out of my imagination, like what the Mushroom Kingdom would really look like. And then Miyamoto is just like a kid in a candy store, like just having fun. You know, he's not a young guy, but he's the youngest guy at heart I probably ever know or ever met before. He called Mario and Luigi his kids, which was fantastic. He said, like, daddy's busy. Dad's busy. But yeah, I'm very excited to check that place out. You're much more equipped to go and take the trip to Japan than I am.
I'm 2 hours away, and we were originally planning on going this past October. Obviously, it got delayed, and I mean, honestly, I think it's going to get delayed again. But as soon as it's open and it's safe, I'm going to take the family over there. My wife was very supportive of my insistence that we were going to do this. We've been planning this since before my third kid was even born.
Yeah.
And now, after watching that direct, my wife is like, okay, I'm not going to lie. I am really excited to go. I want to eat that food. I want to see that stuff. That looks super fun. The size of it is actually pretty much in keeping with what I expected. You know, I worked at Universal in Hollywood. And
yeah.
The real estate in California is very limited, and I think Japan is in a super similar situation. So the biggest and best is almost undoubtedly going to be Orlando whenever they do finally open that one, because they're spoiled for space. If they need more space for an attraction, they just buy more.
Yeah, it's all swampland.
Right. So they have no limitation. They can make it whatever they want. But if something's going to go up in California, something else needs to come down.
Yeah.
And that's what happened with Harry Potter. So the Harry Potter there is very small. But what had me very hopeful was being able to witness from the inside the construction of Harry Potter and how they really made the most out of what they had. The people who designed that are geniuses. And you feel like you're in this world, even though it is such a small amount of real estate. And when I saw Miyamoto walking through it, I realized that the actual square footage is quite limited, but the experience is very large. So there's so much to do in that little space and so much to see. And if you are a Nintendo fan, it's definitely an experience worth making. And for as close as I am, I cannot wait to go do it.
So there's two rides. You have Yoshi's Adventure, which looks like more of a tour, like you ride on a Yoshi.
Yeah.
Captain Toad is like the guy guiding you on the tour, which I think is fantastic. Awesome. And then the bigger ride, which is the AR experience Mario Kart, which in the age of COVID, watching the fact that you have to put these shared glasses on.
Yeah.
I don't know how they're going to sanitize those, but I'm sure they'll figure it out. I think Japan closed its borders again, though, too, right?
They did.
So that makes it even more tricky at this point.
And this year is supposed to be the Olympics that were delayed from last year. I don't really, like, it's hard for me to imagine that that's going to be able to happen. So
yeah, I guess it depends on like how quickly the vaccines are going to get distributed. At least in the States, I have a handful of friends, one writer on the Nintendo Wire team, who got their first vaccination. But again, these are all people in the healthcare field, and it's going to take time. I would imagine that it's going to be mid-2021 before anything's going to even have like a hint of normalcy. But we'll see. And that's right when the Olympics are, so it's going to be cutting it super close.
Right. I definitely don't want to get over there during Olympics, because I think that this is going to be a hot attraction during that time. And you know, coming from a theme park background, I want to be there when it's cold and rainy. I want to be there when no one else is there, so that I can really soak everything in and not be losing my kids in a crowd.
Yeah.
And it is hard to imagine in a post-pandemic world what the theme park experience is going to be like, and I'm just not interested in taking any chances or cutting it close. So I want to feel like it's abundantly safe to travel.
Yeah.
And that may not even wind up being 2021, but I'm ambitious towards the end of the year that there'll probably be an opportunity to be able to get there. They obviously think that it's going to be able to reopen at some point, and the world's not going to stay closed forever. So at some point, I'm going to get over there. It's just a 2-hour jaunt.
If it is sometime in like end of 2021, I'm going to come and meet you.
Yes, that'd be awesome.
So I'll find a way. So that's Mario 35. What else? We had Hyrule Warriors, which we did an entire episode on.
Yeah.
So that was better than expected. Well, yeah. It was, it looked amazing. And then I was disappointed. And then I was amazed again.
Your journey is my journey. The game was straight out of a dream, and then when I actually tried the demo, I was really deflated.
Yeah.
And then after playing it for a while, like, I had to get a little bit used to the frame rate and the performance, and then once I acclimated to that, the game was a real joy.
Yeah.
And it, even though it did exactly what I was afraid it would do, I realized that was its own form of wish fulfillment. Like, who would not want to change the fate of their most beloved heroes, if you have the power to be able to impact this. And it still puts the power in my hands. It still lets me do it. I have to still affect that outcome through my gaming skills, my abilities. And it allowed me to experience things in the Breath of the Wild world with Breath of the Wild characters that I didn't even know I wanted, and that was cathartic in a way that I didn't even know I needed.
Yeah.
And it actually did really make me feel a lot better than if I got the game I expected, I think. In hindsight, what they did with that game I've really warmed up to.
I feel the same way. And I'm hoping we get DLC. I imagine we're going to get it. I mean, the game was data mined, and I'm not going to ruin what they found in the game, but there's new characters they found, voice samples of those characters in battle.
Yeah, it certainly could be cut content, but...
Could be.
But I do hope that it is DLC. I hope that
Nintendo milked the first one, so I'm sure they're going to do the same thing.
I can definitely see there being so much room for expansion. There are so many questions unanswered. There are so many holes that leaves room to explore, and I really badly want to explore it. I 100%ed it, and I'm ready to go back. New amiibo would be awesome.
But we had that. Oh, we had Mario Lego in 2020, which I went crazy and I bought all of it, and then I regretted buying all of it because my daughter stopped liking Lego halfway through building it. But the time we had actually doing the ones we did, she really enjoyed it. And there's even more coming out on January 1st. There's like 3 new sets, 5 new three new costumes. So expect more Lego content coming in the future from Lego and Nintendo. So we had that.
Yeah, I also went all in with those Legos. And I actually randomly re-listened to an episode where we extensively reviewed it.
Yeah.
And it, like, I re-experienced the joy of seeing my kids like fawn over this fun set, and the frustration of looking for every lost piece. And,
yeah.
And so we have them all, and some of them are half assembled on a shelf, and some of them are just in a big bucket. But I have to say, while I did enjoy it, I do have some regrets, because I have more anxiety about losing the pieces than I do fun of playing with them. So that, I guess I'm not a very Lego compatible dad.
You got to glue them together. It takes away half the fun, but hey.
Yeah. Break out the Craggle.
So for me, it was weird because, again, I have this amiibo mentality where I wanted to collect all of them. And I was like, I'm going to miss out. I got to go get them. I got to go find them. And I still have sets I've not even opened. I have a couple sets behind me that are still in the box. So at some point, I'll get there. But I'm not going to go that gung-ho with the next wave of these. I do hope at some point Luigi makes an appearance as a playable character, a player two, as it were. I would imagine Nintendo would want to do that. So.
Oh, is the Luigi figure not like Mario?
There is no Luigi.
Yeah, they just announced it. I saw a trailer.
You're a liar.
No, I'm dead serious. There's Luigi. There's Larry? Larry Koopa?
No, Larry they did.
Yeah, Luigi too.
You're full of it.
No, unless I dreamt this. I saw the trailer
for the new ones, but there was no Luigi.
I think there was.
Okay, let me look this up.
Yeah, we got to settle.
If I somehow missed this, I'm in trouble.
I think Luigi was like the highlight of it.
Somebody custom made a Luigi. I think you dreamt it.
The commercial seemed pretty official. Does it have a Luigi figure at all?
No.
I'm sure I saw a Luigi figure.
Okay, Lego Super Mario Luigi. There's a custom set. I'm sorry, man. I think you dreamed it.
I wonder if it's possible to have seen a super legit commercial with a custom.
You made me doubt my Nintendo Wire abilities, because if I missed that, that would have been big. That would have
really
been big.
I'm like flummoxed right now, because I was like 90%.
I would imagine that they would have released Luigi in the second round of these, but yeah, for some reason they just never did.
Wow. I wonder what I saw.
I'm really curious to see what you saw.
Oh, well, I'm looking at a little search on YouTube, and I'm seeing a bunch of custom Luigi's.
They look legit, though.
Yeah, they look legit. Maybe I just conflated. So oh no, I'm looking at all 2021 Lego Super Mario playsets and Luigi reveal.
From one
month ago.
You gotta send it to me. There's no Luigi reveal. Right. Unless I've totally missed something.
Yeah, I'm sending this to you.
What, are you going to send it over Skype or Facebook? We're doing this right now. I don't care about podcasting.
This is happening in real time, guys.
Unless it got leaked.
I don't know if it got
leaked. Because I'm on the Lego store. It says the Penguin Power Suit's coming. Character pack level or series 2. Tanuki Mario pack, which I'm buying, by the way.
Yeah, Luigi's on here. He's like Mario.
I don't believe you.
All right, I'm going to send you this right now.
Send it over. I still don't believe it. Right, even when I see it, I'm not going to believe it. All right, where are you sending this?
Sending it in Facebook.
Okay.
I got two keyboards in front of me, so I keep messing up which one is which. All right. It has been sent.
All right. Let's see. I don't know if I trust this channel called Puppet Steve.
Hey, Puppet Steve is legit.
All right, let's see. I think it's clickbait. All right, new expansion sets. I'm zooming through this to even see if I can find Luigi in here anywhere. Puppet Steve's a clickbaiter. There's nothing Luigi in this.
I saw Luigi. I clicked through it too. I saw Luigi in there.
Okay, it's because it has green Luigi. Isn't okay. Wait, what? I still call shenanigans. You give me a timestamp where you see Luigi.
Okay. Well, even if he's
oh wait 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 wait. So yeah, Luigi did pop up under new expansion sets. But is this in the video or?
Because I don't know.
Nope, it's not in the video. This is pure speculation. So he put this up like this Puppet Steve guy.
Puppet Steve lied to me?
Puppet Steve is a liar. He's a fraud.
Well, you can see why I was confused.
Puppet Steve has 800,000 subscribers, so I probably shouldn't be talking crap about him. He's saying because the screen that says new expansion sets is green, that must somehow confirm Luigi's coming, which it could.
Okay, okay. It could. But in my defense, the thumbnails include all of the legit reveals and Luigi prominently featured right there.
I'm keeping this entire thing in.
So I naturally assumed that it was just part of it. And I've never had to think of it. I've never had to give it any real brain power until this very moment.
Unless. Yeah. Yeah, he's a clickbaiter. He clickbaited us. So.
Puppet Steve!
Oh, well. So besides that, yeah, I mean.
So I hope you guys enjoyed the last 7 minutes. The last 7 minutes of our.
That's okay. This was
Lego Luigi Mystery Adventure. Yeah.
So I'm not cutting that. I'm not. I'm just. It's part laziness. in part, I actually quite enjoyed that.
If you guys sat through that and you're still with us, bless you.
Thank you. I feel like the people that are listening to this podcast are with us for us, not necessarily the content. So
what I wish that I could hear is all of the people screaming at their phone, like, TJ, you are fooled, you fool. There's no set.
Oh man, now I gotta put this on YouTube now too. All right, let's move into 2021 real quick.
Yeah.
Do you have anything else for 2020?
Oh, one last thing. I threw a little bit of shade, I think, at Nintendo about Pikmin 3 Deluxe, mostly because I love the first two games and I just could not find an acceptable way to play it on the Wii U.
Yeah.
But I really, really enjoyed it on Switch. I played it through by myself and found it to be really fun. I love Pikmin. I love these guys. I'm glad that I was able to have some way to finally interface with this. But what really won me on this game is the two-player co-op, which was not part of the original package. And being able to play this game with my son in particular, who has just since become obsessed. Like, Luigi's Mansion 3 was his jam. He and I would bust out as Luigi and Guigi for the better part of last year. And this year, we've been doing the same thing in Pikmin. So I just run around and I'm like a support unit helping him out as he's really exploring the game, and watching his burgeoning video game skills come out has been awesome. At first I thought this game would be too complex for him. He's almost six, but he mastered it in no time. Now he's far superior to me. He mimics the movement of the characters and he's so in love with Pikmin that my wife and I bought him all these little Pikmin plush for his birthday. Not for his birthday, for Christmas. And he hugs them dear and tight every night. He makes them hit each other with the buds. So I'm very thankful for Pikmin 3 this year because it was just another way for me to be able to bond with my kids over games, and that was a big one.
I haven't picked it up yet. Not quite yet.
Yeah, for the co-op alone, it was really worth it for me. If you think it's something that you and your daughter might enjoy, then it's definitely worth it for that.
I'll give it a shot. So 2021, firmly, and I'm going to go my biggest hope for 2021 first. I think Nintendo is going to have a hardware revision of the Switch in 2021. I think it's about time and it makes sense. PS5, Xbox Series X are out. Nintendo has reportedly already told some of their content developers to create higher resolution assets for Switch games in the future. if some reports can be believed, which I tend to think they can be. I would like to see some sort of revision on the Switch, and I think Hyrule Warriors is a good indication of why that should be the case. Something with a bit more power that can give us either A, high resolution, or B, for me, a smoother frame rate on some games.
Both, please, yes.
Yeah, both would be preferable. So, but again, I think that's what game companies are doing now. They're giving people the option. They say, we have a performance mode, which will give you higher frame rate, or we have this cinematic mode, which gives you a more cinematic, like 24 to 30 frames a second, but we get 4K, HDR, ray tracing, all this other stuff. So I wouldn't be surprised if Nintendo takes a similar approach with some of their games too. But the Switch is doing well enough. So, I mean, I can't imagine Nintendo is feeling the heat from these other consoles so much, but they haven't had real competition from new consoles in some time. Nintendo released the Switch right in the middle of a console life cycle.
Yeah, what even is a life cycle of a console anymore? There's no such thing as a console generation, I think. I think this kind of each company now has their own console generation. Because Nintendo broke the cycle with the Wii U, and the Wii U had a really short life.
Yeah.
And the Switch came in mid-cycle. So is Switch the same generation as the current Xbox and PlayStation? It seems weird. It almost seems like the Wii U and the Switch are of the same generation.
Yeah.
And a lot of people kind of, I think, in their headspace, that's kind of how they categorically separate it. For me, I think Nintendo's just not playing that game.
They have no reason to play that game. I do think, though, as technology gets a bit better and developers want to put games on the Switch, I think Doom Eternal is a very good example of that, where it's playable, but if you had the opportunity to play it on a different system, you should.
That's more to the point, is that it's not so much that they need to make a revision for the Switch's sake, it's for third-party sake.
Yeah.
They could continue to make their own games on their own hardware, given its limitations, as much as they want. But if they want to continue to be able to involve the third-party developers, they need to have a system that's powerful enough to be able to play those games. They could maybe continue to experiment with streaming it, but I do think that we have not quite advanced far enough along where, in America at least, the internet is reliable and steady throughout enough of the country for that to be a viable way for a lot of people to play.
Yeah. No, yeah, I agree. And I played Contact completely.
Control?
What was it? Yeah, Control, excuse me. And I played that on the cloud service, and it played well enough. But it's not feasible for so many people. So that makes sense. But I do think 2021 is the year of the Switch Pro. I think it's going to happen at some point this year. Maybe it would be some sort of E3 announcement.
You think it's launching with
Breath of the Wild 2? That would make the most sense. And I would absolutely love that. It would be a system seller. You could make a special edition Switch Pro with whatever bells and whistles you'd want on it. And I would buy it. Everybody else I know would buy it. But again, I think it's a weird little dance Nintendo would have to do to say, would we create games specifically for this new hardware? Or would all games need to be backwards compatible? If Cyberpunk 2077 has taught me anything, it's that some games shouldn't be backwards compatible.
Yeah.
So if you're unaware of the reference, which I'm sure nobody is, the PlayStation 4 and Xbox series... not series, the Xbox One. Their naming conventions are so bad.
I know.
Are darn near unplayable. I have the. Yep. I played the PS5 version, which is essentially just the PS4 Pro version, and it's playable to a point, but it's not fantastic.
Yeah.
But I guess Nintendo would have to make that decision at that point. They made that decision with a few games on the new 3DS, but it was sparing. And the CPU increases on the new 3DS compared to the 3DS were pretty minimal for the most part.
Because the install base on the Switch is so big, if they are doing a Switch Pro or a Switch Model 2, that particular one, if it's anywhere close, it's going to be 100% backwards compatible with the Switch.
Yeah.
I'm positive, because their install base is really what is driving, I think, their success right now.
Yeah. It's tough, though. Like I said, it's for a lot of third parties, I think Nintendo would say, hey, we really want you to push, like, you need to have some sort of mode for each of these.
Oh,
but again, for
sure.
Companies like Bethesda or Panic Button that are, you know, bringing Doom Eternal, would they want to waste their time creating a Switch version just that barely plays?
Yeah, I think third party might be an exception. I think third parties may be given the ability to do what they want, but with Nintendo, anything that's published by Nintendo, I think they would have to make it backwards compatible.
Tough stuff. But I do think the biggest thing next year is going to be that, and hopefully the same treatment Mario got this year, Zelda's going to get for its 35th anniversary, which is next year.
Oh, I'm so hoping. I'm hoping, on the one hand, that Nintendo gets this. I'm sorry, Zelda gets the same kind of love, but I'm also like really kind of anxious that it will wind up being as sloppy as Mario's was, and
at
that will
least
really
we have
disappoint
HD
me.
Versions of Wind Waker and Twilight Princess to fall back on, so Nintendo would have to do next to nothing to get those games on the Switch.
That's true.
Exception of the inventory systems that would have to be modified, but even both of those games could be played in gamepad only mode before, where you can just switch back and forth between inventory and touchscreen. So they already have that kind of built in.
Yeah, but if they go as far back as Ocarina of Time or Majora's Mask, I think those are really the two that I worry about the most, because even though I love those games, and I can't play them on the Nintendo 64. After Wind Waker kind of killed that game for me, even though I loved it and I played it a ton, trying to go back and control those characters after the smoothness of Wind Waker makes it almost just insufferable. I have no problems with the 2D games. I could go back and do A Link to the Past any day and immediately I'm back in the groove. But if it's the 3D moving games that are a little bit clunky and janky, which were acceptable and cutting edge at the time, but are now really antiquated, I struggle with that. They did already remake both of those games, and they're pretty acceptable and exceptional remakes.
I know
some people have some
criticisms.
I would hope too. If they could up-res what they did on the 3DS, that would be amazing. But I just don't see that.
I don't see it happening either. I just... Nintendo hasn't really given us a whole lot to work with, I feel like, with what they showed us with the Mario 35th anniversary stuff. But again, Mario 64 and Mario DS were very different. So I don't know what it would take to port a 3DS game to the Switch.
Or what if they just did something similar where they were like, okay, here it is, Ocarina of Time HD. I would totally, totally be over the moon for that.
You know, at some point, I firmly believe there's going to be a remake of Ocarina of Time.
Because they already did it once. Let's just HD-ify it.
I feel like there's going to be a full-fledged, like, remake, built from the ground up, like, from what Final Fantasy VII and Final Fantasy VII Remake, like, that extreme.
Really?
I feel like Ocarina of Time has such a fan base that this would be an interesting time for them to do that. And heck, they could even announce that as soon as this year, but I don't know. I do think that the crowning thing in the Zelda 35th anniversary is going to be Breath of the Wild 2. But it's just, we haven't got much information on it.
Yeah. This last year really just kind of threw us all for a loop. It was not unconceivable when we saw the trailer more than a year and a half ago, that it could have even released sometime during 2020. And if that was ever in the original plans, we don't know.
Yeah.
2021 still does not seem unrealistic, but I also would not be at all surprised if they pushed it. But I feel like they want it to come out next year. I feel like it's going to come out sometime next year.
Yeah.
Anywhere between March and December is really where I think it could land.
Then.
Yeah. I should say, I think it would be March or November-ish.
Yeah.
I don't think it's a summer game. I think it's probably something that you'd get spring or a holiday.
You know,
but
I was really wanting to play Twilight Princess. I was like, why can't they just put Twilight Princess on the Switch? Why are they doing this? And it still takes me by surprise. I'm like, wait, I have a Wii U with this game on it.
Yeah.
Like, that's pretty much the same experience I'd get on the Switch. And in fact, it's better. So I actually plugged my Wii U in this morning just to start some games up.
People forget that that is the ultimate Zelda machine. There are so few Zelda games you can't play on the Wii U.
The DS games are almost every single one.
Even the DS ones are on there. And my Spirit Tracks alarm is going off. Sorry about
that. Oh, very nice.
So here's my crazy Zelda hope. We weren't really sure what was going to happen with the portable series. They were doing like Phantom Hourglass and Spirit Tracks,
yeah,
and Triforce Heroes. And the next game that we got that wasn't in the mainline series was Link's Awakening Remake. So they did have two parallel Zeldas going, sort of, but it's still a remake series. Are we going to get new entries that exist outside of these big sweeping 3D epics? I'm not sure. But my hope is that we get like a 2D action platformer Zelda, where it's kind of like Hollow Knight or Ori and the Blind Forest or something like that. Because I've been playing some games like that that are really fun, and I keep thinking, wow, I would love to do a Zelda game like this. Like, Link controls amazing in 2D in Smash Brothers.
Yeah.
So it doesn't necessarily need to be a 3D game. I think it can be like any of those games. Like, if it's one of these gorgeous painted adventures like Ori and the Blind Forest, or even something that's got like a retro feel like Shovel Knight, or like really distinctive art like Hollow Knight, I think it would be so fun to be Link in that with some sort of progression system, maybe more Metroid style play, but
yeah,
with an emphasis on the action platforming. You get to fight a lot of bad guys.
I would want Nintendo to give that to somebody else. Very, very much like Cadence of Hyrule. That actually, when that got announced and released, it really gave me hope for what Nintendo might lend out to indie developers. Developers that can create things that, I'm not saying Nintendo couldn't, but in a way that Nintendo probably wouldn't. And giving the Zelda IP or the Metroid IP, I think the Metroid IP makes more sense for this, to like a company like Team Cherry, so much sense. And part of me hopes that Nintendo continues that trend. I feel like they dipped their toes in the pool with Cadence of Hyrule, and I really hope it does. I mean, for me, and I'm not saying that I wouldn't want to play a Zelda version of a game like that, but I would much rather play a Metroid game created by the people that are making some of the best Metroidvania games on the planet. But that's just me.
I think that if it had a stronger emphasis on combat and platforming, Metroid has never really stuck with me, and I don't know why it is. I like Samus as a character, and I conceptually like the games, but the actual gameplay just never clicks. Even though I try every single one, I buy every single one, never play it more than a few hours. But if it was a Zelda game, I might power through. And even though I don't really enjoy those types of games typically, like the ones that I mentioned, I played through both Ori games, which I just thought were phenomenal.
Yeah.
I played Hollow Knight as many hours as almost every other game I've played on the Switch. That's way up there for me. And I really loved it, and I never got sick of it. I would love to explore Hyrule like that. I would love to be able to take this world that I'm very familiar with and experience it in a brand new way. And that seems like it would be such a good fit, even if not a natural one. Maybe not one that Nintendo would immediately jump to, but hopefully there are some people out there being like, yeah, I could totally see Link like this. That would be awesome.
I mean, I'd pick it up for sure. I'd have no issue with that. I think I'd have to see it to believe it, though. I think that's one of the things I would need to see. Metroidvania games for me, they're kind of hit or miss.
Yeah.
But like I said, there's some absolutely insane developers out there that create some. It's just pure art. So I just played the new Ori game on Series X, which is a game that's been out for a while. It was Will of the Wisps. And it's just gorgeous. Just absolutely stunning.
Yeah.
So
yeah, that's it.
Oh, go ahead. Go ahead. Sorry.
I was just going to agree with you. That's a beautiful game from top to bottom.
Besides that, the only other thing I really want Zelda-related is Skyward Sword HD. I still think Skyward Sword is one of the best Zelda games from a narrative standpoint. Take out some of the clunky motion controls if you can.
Yeah, I'm curious to see how they reconcile that.
I don't know. Part of me feels like it would be Joy-Con only if they had to. But
which are inferior in all ways. The interface with the motion control on Joy-Con cannot measure up to the Wii Motion Plus with the sensor bar. So it's, and that already like barely worked. I loved it. I got through it. But there were many times where I was like, that is not the gesture I did. That is not the gesture I did. And the game, and that's a frustrating thing for a gamer to do, is when your intention is betrayed by your character's action. So if you feel like you did a certain thing and your character doesn't do it, then I do think that that's a problem with the design. I think that the Switch would really struggle with that. Even just having the difference between the Wii U motion control in Breath of the Wild's aiming and the Switch motion control in Breath of the Wild aiming, the Switch is like not even close to the Wii U's precision and sensitivity. So a game that's dedicated to that, I don't know how they work around that. You know what? I do know how they work around it. They sell a sensor bar. And they pack in the sensor bar and they make you do that
way. They would dump motion controls first. I'm not sure how they would do
it. I hope that they do find some way to reimagine that game. If they do find a way to maybe make it a little bit more traditional, where you have button interface with that game, that would be interesting.
I think the game would be painfully easy. I feel like some of the bosses would just be too simple.
Oh, everyone would be painfully easy.
So it's I struggle with how they would do it.
Me too.
I do think that they'll somehow cater it to the Joy-Con. I mean, the Joy-Con have pretty good. I personally don't really see too many issues with the Joy-Con as far as like movement. The only real game I've had that had me moving the Joy-Con like in crazy ways was like 1-2 Switch.
Yeah.
Which. Well, even did a decent enough job.
Hyrule Warriors: Age of Calamity's motion control, like, was it broke the game. It was
But I think a lot of it's an afterthought too. Not necessarily an afterthought, but it wasn't the main way like it was expecting you to use combat.
Right.
So I don't know. We'll see.
Imagine if it was. Yeah. I hope it happens. I hope it does happen.
I'm a Nintendo stockholder, so I want them to make that money too. So
I want the year to be littered with awesome Zelda stuff.
And me too.
I hope it does go. Of course, games is where I want it to be centered because that's the primary way that we experience Zelda stuff. But if it also has a bunch of cool ancillary merchandise, I would not be in any way opposed to that. It's a lot harder for me to get out here, but I still think that it would be a cool way to celebrate. And we don't even know that they're going to. Like, they have acknowledged a lot of Zelda's big milestones over the years, but we have no guarantee that they're going to even make mention of it. It might just be, let's lay it out.
Game and Watch, Legend of Zelda.
Oh, give it to me!
It's going
to
happen.
Give it to me right now.
That's happening. I mean, I would imagine that would happen.
I would want it, and I would have it, and I would get it, and it would be such a waste because I have that game in like 20 versions already. Every possible way you could have bought the original Legend of Zelda, I did.
And it's probably the least comfortable way I could play that game right now, but I'd still want it.
Totally. Absolutely. You could boot up your Switch online right now and play that game.
Yeah.
You could also plug in your NES Mini, or you could just get your original NES, or you could play it on your GameCube, or Wii U, or Wii. There's so many different ways to play that game that this would be the worst, but I would still.
And I'd pay $50 for it.
Me too. I'd pay $90 because that's what they cost out here in Taiwan.
Oh, man, that's crazy. I'll send you one. What's it cost to send something to Taiwan?
$70.
Just for something simple?
Yeah.
Oh, man. It's crazy. I'll figure something out. I'll make the trip out there.
Yeah, there we go.
TJ, I would love to keep going. I got to get a Ring Fit adventure in tonight. Where can the good folks at home find you?
One more quick thing.
One more. All right, you got it.
This one is never going to happen. But I'm so ready for it, and I just want to put it out into the universe. Punch Out Switch. I need another Punch Out game. It's been too long.
Get Fitness Boxing. Same thing.
That is almost as good, but I want my little Mac fighting these big heavyweight boxers with these extremely caricature personalities.
Yeah. Punch Out Weezer Blast.
It is one of the best games ever.
And I never looked up the sales numbers, so part of me wonders if Nintendo would ever go down that road again.
Yeah, who knows, but I want it. I'm ready. Give it to me.
Let me take a look. Punch Out Wii sales. Let's see. Sales. I'm going to vgcharts.com.
And that was a monster of a console, so if it didn't sell on Wii, there's not much hope.
It said it sold about 1 million copies.
That's a little bit slim.
What did they sell, 60 million Wiis?
Yeah, a lot. Well,
it'll okay, have here to we stay. Go. 1,140,000 units sold.
Maybe it'll stay a pipe dream.
It could.
Is it easy to look up on there? What would be a really well-known, successful title on?
So let's do New Super Mario Brothers U.
Yeah, that's a good one.
Okay, New Super Mario Bros. Wii. The site is very slow, so bear with me.
Sorry, I'm cutting into your workout here.
No, it's fine. Okay, here we go. Oh, no, I got to click one more thing. We're almost there, guys. We're almost there. Yeah, if you don't want to know the numbers, this is the last thing in the podcast, so you can just back out.
But how could you not know? You got to compare.
My guess is it's going to be insane. It was also a pack-in game for the Wii.
I thought Wii Sports.
So there was a red Wii console that had this one packed in.
Ah. So this might not even include those sales, would it?
That one had 30,320,000.
30 million.
So it did 30 times more.
So actually, Punch-Out didn't do that bad if you compare that.
I think it did pretty bad if you compare it there.
Well, you expect Mario to perform much higher than some of their lower tier properties. But you've got, like, even in the Switch sales, getting Fire Emblem in the 5 million, that's considered a success.
Let me look up Skyward Sword. I think that was never a pack-in, but that's a huge Nintendo franchise. I'm curious to see what Skyward Sword sold.
Yeah, because it's definitely less. Less than Mario.
It's thinking.
I'm gonna guess 17.
17 for Skyward?
Yeah.
I'm going to go 12.
You're probably right. It's probably.
I hope it did better. We're going to find out in 30 seconds. Maybe more, maybe less.
This is even more exciting countdown than the one into the new year.
It really is. Here we go. The page loaded. The only thing that didn't load. Oh, here we go. 3,670,000.
All right. So when you consider Zelda did 3 million... And that really puts into perspective what a tremendous juggernaut Breath of the Wild is. Even Age of Calamity sold better than that game. So 3 million from Zelda, 1 million from Punch-Out is probably a success. That's probably considered a good thing.
And Punch-Out probably had a fraction of the development cost.
Totally. And definitely far less promotion.
Yeah.
So, who knows? That's mildly encouraging. I still don't see it happening anytime soon.
I'll cross my fingers for you. I really wouldn't mind playing that game again, too. It was definitely a blast.
All right. Thanks for indulging me, man.
Of course.
If you guys want to find me, you can check me out right here on the Nintendo Wire. Well, I say right here because I'm assuming you're watching this on YouTube. But if you're listening to this on some podcast thing, you can find me on YouTube, Nintendo Wire YouTube channel. I'm going to be starting a new weekly show starting this week, so hopefully you'll tune in. It's really flexible format, so I look forward to your thoughts and your criticisms in the comments. Help me shape the show into something that's fun for everybody. If you want to follow me on social media, you can keep track of me on Twitter at Custom Conquest or on Instagram at ForeverFitnessTJ.
You can find me once again on the Nintendo Wire YouTube channel. On Twitter, we have quite a few. At Amiibo News is still alive and kicking. At NinWire, that's Nintendo Wire's official Twitter account. My personal Twitter account is at Amiibo Jason, so you can find me there as well. If you are looking to start Ring Fit, we set up a Discord server where you can show your results, take pictures of your progress. You can find a link to that on my personal Twitter account at Amiibo Jason. That's it for me. If you enjoyed this, if you are listening on iTunes or Spotify, if you want to give us a review, thumbs up, 5 stars, whatever the review score it lets you give, that would be appreciated. We'd love that, and hopefully we'll do this more consistently in 2021. So, TJ, anything else?
That's it, brother.
All right, stay wired in.
Thanks for playing.